Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Austin, I just want... Lugs!
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people show. Come on to the premiere show. SmackDown.
It's October 14th, year of our Lord 1999. All the kids are playing Rayman 2, The Great Escape. Very hard game. All the slightly older adults are watching American Pie. Wow.
Making love to a woman is like sweet apple, making love sweet apple pie or something like that.
And going to the next thing. One time at band camp, I listened to Blue Dabba Dibba Da Da Dabba Dee Dabba Da. If you're following this at home, this is the third or fourth week this song is in the charts. Nothing can stop Blue. Right? Like Triple H's push, it will never end. But while all this is going on in the background of life, there was a little show on the WWF network, also known as UPN, called SmackDown. What happened? Where was the show going? Was there a No Mercy pay-per-view in a few days' time? Is SmackDown still on the air? All these questions and more can only be answered with the SmackDown Cultaholic Review with myself, my comrade at arms, Tom Campbell.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review, Matthew Gogg. You get closer. You get closer every single week. You get closer every single week.
But it's just keywords and tags. Cultaholic SmackDown Review.
Is it because like you remember everything and then it's just like, right, that bit I pushed to the side and then it's sort of looking through filing cabinets to find it again?
Yes.
It's basically
That's exactly
it.
What it is, Tom. You what couldn't have put it better yourself.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to move us to a new studio where we can have a big screen behind us that has the name of the logo as we talk about it.
Yeah, here we are, Tom, with the... What's that shirt? Oh!
Yeah, I get a T-shirt with it on. That's a good idea.
SmackDown Review.
That's not a bad idea, nice. Actually. It's a good shout.
Before we start this thrilling episode, I think there's some news to go through.
There is indeed. So, before we get into the October 14th edition of SmackDown, brought to you probably by Lugs.
A
few things from the Wrestling Observer from this particular year. We'd like to put you back in the world at this point with a few headlines. Not all of them particularly happy. With a lot of talk in the WWF at the moment about the injury to Darren Drozdov that occurred a week or so before on the 5th of October on SmackDown at the Nassau Coliseum. Now, we admit sometimes we don't pay enough attention. There was the one episode we had of SmackDown recently that was really short. That was why. Because
that was the week before this.
Yes. So this is, but then it's only just coming up in the Observer now because we now know a little bit more about the situation that Darren Drozdov finds himself in.
But no, last week wasn't the short one. It was the
you
week
are
before.
Right, actually. I'll get it. Right.
We still don't know the answer to that question. Okay. But here's answer to another question.
Okay. A lot of talk about the injury to Darren Drozdov, a.k.a. Droz, who was wrestling D'Lo Brown on a SmackDown taping when, according to reports, and this comes from the Wrestling Observer, they were setting up a running Liger Bomb spot. D'Lo Brown, a traditional D'Lo Brown move. Sources both there and in the WWF describe what is a rather basic move being messed up because D'Lo Brown lost his footing and slipped. Because Drozdov's head was too low, the result being an awful landing on his head, which fractured his neck, which at press time still has him paralysed below the waist. This wouldn't improve for Darren Drozdov, unfortunately. There were complaints by the fans, from the Wrestling Observer, in the building, because after Drozdov was taken off on a stretcher, there was no explanation to the crowd as to what had happened. Like, what do you say? What do you say when that happens? You know, do you address the crowd and say, we've seen an injury tonight, we're going to carry on with the program? It's a tough one.
Well, if you ask Vince, he'd say the show must go on.
I think, you know what, they set the precedent where if a guy, you know, not to sound too crude, but if a guy's died during a pay-per-view and they carry on the show, they're not going to stop the show because of this.
I don't think it's necessarily them stopping the show, everything else like that. It's, yeah, as they said, we don't know.
Just clue in
we
the crowd.
We just saw a guy get put, and by the way, if anyone doesn't know this, the footage of Droz being pulled up on a stretcher has been shown on WF many times on the Please Not Try This At Home. He's the guy pulling the stretcher. And that's the only footage that has ever been shown of it.
Yes.
And, yeah, what do you, I would... You'd think they would stop, read the mood from the crowd and go, hey, look, you know...
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
You'd have thought so. So what's ended up, so what happened then? On the SmackDown show that aired two nights later, this is why we got the Big Boss Man versus Big Show. It was taped for Sunday Night Heat. But that is also why, when I watched it, I noticed there were Sunday Night Heat flags above the ring. I thought, oh, that's...
They did that on a previous episode, I think SmackDown 1. So that must have been a, here's some filler.
Yeah,
here's some AEW dark on Dynamite.
Drozdov's injury, according to The Observer, was acknowledged in the voiceover of the match put in its place. But the way the show was presented, the injury was seriously downplayed, with the angle injury to Stephanie McMahon treated as the serious tragedy on the show.
Yeah.
And the explanation of what happened was terribly vague.
Yeah, if you didn't hear last week's podcast or see this week's thing of SmackDown, it literally was... the hilarity of Mark Henry, sex addict. Darren Drozdov is crippled.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
there was no transition. It was, you know, click, clunk.
Get used to that, because that's a big part of tonight's show.
Oh. If you love tonal shifts, whoa, strap in.
Meanwhile, across the water, some trouble in New Japan, as it looks like they are in a bit of a situation because their main event for the Tokyo Dome, featuring Hashimoto versus Ogawa, failed to sell out as they hoped. You looked at that before we got started, and you sort of scoffed and like, well, of course. Of course that's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
But Gawa's not selling it out.
Yeah, look, I'm not a pro-wrestler by any means, but at least I know from listening to the history of FNW podcast with Bahu, another podcast I'd gladly plug because I love it, he does talk about the bubble bursting in Japanese wrestling around 97, 98-ish. Wrestling companies like New Japan that have been able to sell out these halls, these domes, so easily beforehand were like, oh, they're not selling out.
Yeah,
this is new. So there was a lot of awkwardness and like, what do we do? Mild panic to begin with, and then stuff like this would happen. Oh, let's push somebody new like Ogawa and
or Bob Sapp.
Oh, that would come
that's later on, isn't it?
Well, see, Inoki, again, not to talk about the New Japan thing, but what I know and stand now is that the bubble burst in the Japanese wrestling scene, and then somebody came along in the early 2000s, which was Pride, which absolutely, excuse me.
Absolutely, Matthew was allergic to.
Which just sneezed again, twice. The bastard. There was nothing left but snot. Anyway, that's how Hashimoto beat Ogawa, by the way. Sorry, Matthew. So Pride came along and was this huge thing. MMA just decimated a lot of the popularity of Japanese wrestling in the early 2000s, at least. So why Inoki was so focused on guys like Bob Sapp, Crow Cop and et cetera, got brought in. It's like, well, they're popular elsewhere, right? So, you know. But anyway, back to this. Ogawa versus Hashimoto. While on paper, the crowd of 58,500... Oh, yeah. It's a good old Yakuza number, isn't it? The Yakuza said 58,500. Vince McMahon said 100,000... You're joking again, you idiot. With a sort of 15,000 empty seats. Yeah, this is also the... Was it a work? Was it a shoot fight? During the anticipated rubber match, because they'd already fought before. By the way, yeah, this isn't the first time of a match. This is the third time round.
Yeah.
Ogawa broke kayfabe and shot in Hashimoto, according to Wikipedia, a trusted news source for all wrestling. I'll say it again. According to Ryan Satin, WWE employee. He attacked him for real, left him down and bloodied with kicks and stomps. The New Japan and UFO crew, crews flooded the ring. A legitimate fracas erupted. And some people had to be hospitalised from the slapping and blah, blah, blah.
I love whenever you have to read script, because you do get every bit of what's going on up there right now. It's just like, oh, there's a UFO. I want you to do horse racing announcing. I love that.
Who's on first? What's on second? So that's happening. What else is happening in the news?
Some big trouble in New Japan. Meanwhile, back home, just one tiny little tidbit regarding this particular show before we get underway. We did have ourselves a couple of dark matches on SmackDown tonight. Untelevised matches that didn't get aired. And normally at this point, and I think still to this day, a dark match is used sometimes to send the crowd home happy at the end, but normally to trial new people and get new characters over, get new gimmicks over and stuff. Check this out, right?
Oh, go on.
For three dark matches from this show, okay? Godfather defeated J.R. Ryder, bit of a journeyman of the professional wrestling world.
That rings a bell, but I couldn't tell you anything about him.
Salofa Fatu beat Crash Holly in just over a minute using his new name, Rikishi Fatu.
Ooh.
More on that later. And this is my favourite. Stevie Richards defeated Kurt Angle.
As it should be.
As it should be. Kurt Angle, who spent a long, long time doing dark matches before making his debut. He's very close to arriving at this point. But even with like a month or two to go, think about this, right? Think on this in terms of if you want a great example of how amazing Kurt Angle's first year on the WWF roster was, right? Mm-hmm. This time next year, Kurt Angle is about a couple of days away from defeating The Rock for the WWF Championship.
Yeah.
12 months after losing to Stevie Richards.
Yep.
What a year. That blows my mind when you break it down like that. It blows my mind.
I'm very soon to him beating meat.
Don't we all?
And if you like that pun, don't worry. It'll get used every episode until it happens. We start backstage with Vince and Steph, mind their own business, when Mick Foley walks in and lets them know he's written a book and it's coming out soon. Vince McMahon, what do you want, Mick? And Mick goes, remember how I paid you that favour last week? What favour? You asked me to leave you alone. And I did. So can I have a favour tonight? Finn's at this point, we'll just give him anything. He goes, well, what do you want? One more night with Rock and Sock. I'm going to say, okay, but are you sure The Rock wants it? Of course he does. Why wouldn't The Rock want to team up with his best friend, Mick Foley? Mick is so wonderful here at being oblivious. And at the very end, he steals some chocolate bars. And they are unnamed, just like Xbox Energy Drink and Samuel Little's victims.
Was I the only one that hoped? Because at the start of this, Vince is sat there going through the show with Steph and the door knocks. And he goes, Steph, can you get the door? I really hoped, and I'm so mean after last week, hoped that Steph would open the door and a bin would just come flying through. Stephanie! Give me a medic!
Vince, can I team up with The Rock tonight? No, absolutely not. Picks up bin.
That's it.
Know what? I've had a great idea.
That's how you get anything you want. Also, little bit rude of Mick, who Steph opens the door and Mick goes, hey, Vince, how you doing? Oh, hey, Steph. like barely acknowledges Stephanie McMahon.
Well, he didn't want to suffer the wrath of Test.
Big, massive coward Test.
Grr. Anyway, we're in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, the other
Not
Birmingham.
Not the other Birmingham that we visited last
Birmingham.
Week. The New Age Outlaws start. And they are defending their tag team titles this Sunday against the Hollies, the Hardcore Hollies.
Just the Hollies.
I'm still calling them the Hardcores there, that works.
Hardcore and Crash, the Hollies.
Dog has a sore throat here, presumably from recording with Kay Quick all night. Up in this mute. But before he does the rest, Triple H interrupts, and he has the most ridiculous makeup job you have ever seen. Phantom of the Opera.
It's all like his whole side of his face looks all swollen and red and angry and heavily made up, basically.
Yeah. He looks like 1990 Sting.
if Sting had a flare-up from using the bad makeup.
Yeah, he said, this is it. I've had the American flag for so long, it's now stained my face. Anyway, he politely asked for the mic. Crowd does not care that he is clearly dying. They chant asshole.
He's dying because he's talking like with his nose all blocked up. You haven't got to call me an asshole for much longer.
His nose was blocked up. He's surprised he didn't pass out.
He's just got a big nose.
They chant asshole, which coincidentally is what he resembles. He is very emotional. He says this business a lot. Something that would happen to this day.
Yeah.
Vince comes out per request to snivelling, dying Triple H as he whines, look at me, Vince! Sounding like Cody Rhodes with his voice cracking at the exact right time. I got bitten by a rattlesnake! We get the clip from Raw. I forgot about this crazy Jim Ross and Steve Austin tag match between Triple H and China. And this ended with Triple H throwing Triple H into, that's right, the return of the snake room.
Yes, he throws him into another snake room. So we go off air of Raw with Triple H being trapped in a room with a rattlesnake.
Yeah, yeah, and literally the light is off, so he shuts the door and it's pitch black. And he's like, no, no, oh God, no.
But this is it, right? The commentators know this happened on Raw. I don't get why the commentators aren't making the connection. Like, although as Triple H is walking out, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler are there going, oh my God, what happened to Triple H? What's wrong with his face? You were there on Monday when he got trapped in a room with a rattlesnake. I'm not suggesting that you know that's what it is, but maybe make the connection and go, oh my God, he was trapped on Raw with a rattlesnake. Do you think the rattlesnake did that? That's all you had to say. But they look like goobers because they're just going, oh, what's happened to him? I wonder if it's anything to do with being stuck in a room with a rattlesnake, lads.
Because I think they're waiting for Triple H to get to the point or to show the clip before they're like, what could have happened? Did they give him some bad shellfish? We don't know how bad that is for you. And is this wrestling, Vince? Triple H says to.
Oh God! And he's so in.
Yeah.
He's so behind the curtain.
And this goes on for about 10 minutes or so. Triple H tearfully quits. No Mercy has no main event. Oh. Kane tells X-Pac, Sean, stay out of this act before walking off to go hunt for Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, that's it, because Kane is walking to the ring as X-Pac is arriving in the venue. And basically, Kane looks like he's going to blank him, which they're like more former tag team champions. Just seems a bit cruel.
It's tough love at this point. You know, you fall out with your friend and, you know, they don't give you a reach around. Sorry. The Acolytes are in the ring. With no entrance, but we can probably speculate that they ended over the top rope.
More than likely.
And it's a handicap match. Kane versus both of the Acolytes, both of the rough and tough hombres, says Cole, as the Acolytes were colder than the reception to 2K20 before they reformed as the APA, so crowd doesn't really care.
Am I right in thinking that this is the first night on ring announcing duty for Lillian Garcia?
She may have...
She may have appeared on...
Oh, wait, no, it's been Chimmel beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, at least on SmackDown. I think this is the first time we've heard her dulcet tones on SmackDown. There's a few, like you could tell, like, she's very much a diamond in the rough at this point. There's a few announcements that she makes that don't quite land. Mm. But as time would go on, she'd become, like, a great voice of wrestling. But at this point, she's very much a diamond in the rough, which I find quite fun.
Yeah, the tone's a bit off.
Yeah.
She's just yelling.
But I just noticed when she announced Kane to the ring, I was like, oh, that's her.
Kane! Rather lengthy by the standards of this show. I guess as Russo left, they figured the best strategy to fill out the show was to extend the match length.
Oh, can you imagine? What a crazy idea. What if we put more wrestling in?
Yeah.
What are we thinking?
And where Kane sits up from the clothesline from hell, kicks out with a not 3D, kicks out with a double powerbomb, but a second double powerbomb is enough for the Acolytes to get a win and have no one care about them. With the match over, X-Pac scares off the A, not APA, with the chair, and it'll be a four-way this Sunday night.
Oh, so Kane versus X-Pac versus Farouk versus Bradshaw.
That's right.
Oh, I like this. It's a nice different dynamic.
Yeah.
To this feud, rather than doing Kane and X-Pac versus the APA, versus the Acolytes. They're not called the APA. And
it's so easy saying the APA.
It's so easy to say the APA, says Matthew as he struggles to say the APA. I'm used to calling them the APA, so that's going to take some getting used to. But I like the different dynamic of this Fatal 4-Way and the way the match plays out on Sunday. I'm very intrigued by.
Yeah, in as a match thing, well, whatever, but as a storyline, I'm loving it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Incidentally, myself and Matthew, next time we converse, we will be watching No Mercy. I believe that it should be in keeping with what we did previously. So next time you hear us beyond this podcast, me and myself, Matthew, Greg and I will be sat down to do you a commentary track for WWF No Mercy 1999.
And people seem to like that. Which I was very happy about. Everything but the eating. So it will be No Mercy for your ears. It'll be me, Tom, Pringles, Watsits, Quavers.
I'm bringing the noisiest snacks.
My mic bad? No, your mic is fine.
Is my mic all right, Matthew?
Tim, two Twixes out of two. Backstage, Foley's looking for The Rock, but bumps into Stevie Richards, who is still dressed as Dude Love, literally just walking around, seeing the Dude Love theme and dancing. It's like, Dude Love. Oh, hey, man.
Own the gimmick. Own the gimmick. 100% own the gimmick. Yeah. I'm proud of him.
Stevie has to remind him that what he's doing. It's me. I'm Dude Love. I'm doing your gimmick. And Foley's like, are you?
God.
Great.
Poor Stevie.
And also remind him that he's his best friend. Stevie goes, no. The Rock is my best friend. Bit awkward. And then Foley eats food during this. Good job we don't do that anymore.
Mick, because who would do that whilst talking? Mick and Stevie have a bit of a chat here, and Stevie says, I want to sort one of your problems for you. I want to face Val Venus later on. And Mick Foley says, Val Venus would kill you. Which is devastating for Stevie Richards, who, about an hour before this, pinned Kurt Angle in a dark match. Lest we forget. So,
This is main event Val Venus we're talking about, though.
Let's put the scale together, the mid-card
yeah,
scale.
Ahead.
So, currently, the mid-card scale sits Val Venus, Stevie Richards, Kurt Angle. It's in descending order.
No. The mid-card...
Yeah.
Angle is still on the dark match card. He's still below JR Ryder.
Oh, jeez. Well, he's even... Okay, well, even so, out of those three, Kurt Angle is the lowest common denominator.
Yes. I thought I saw your fantastic point and I would walk all over the
No, but you make a very valid one yourself.
Yes,
yeah,
but Val Venus is upper mid-card right now.
Oh.
He is above Bulldogs, we'll get to
you. You could put him in the main event, but he would lose overness.
You know who isn't over? That's right, Test, who has a sit-down interview with Michael Hayes. Test is censored off. That's if you put it on a T-shirt, like Jeff Jarrett. And even though Steph has forgiven the Bulldog, he never will. Which is why this Sunday, Bulldog takes on The Rock at No Mercy.
Test, right? Test says Steph doesn't want Test fighting the Bulldog. Oh, that's lucky for Test, isn't it? But the Bulldog's...
Thank God, he killed me.
But Bulldog can fight everybody else. But Steph has gone, no, Test, don't fight the Bulldog. Like, that's the obvious feud. What are you doing?
As a young boy, Test lost a fight to a bin.
So did his future wife.
I'm sorry to give... That's what I mean. If it was... Like the Hound in Game of Thrones isn't scared of anything but fire. Test is like, why are you on a... He sees Bulldog throwing a bin, and the theme from The Phantom Menace kicks in his head. Corner, the car. Test, are you okay, Test? I'm having a heart attack. Call.
He's not frightened of any wrestlers, but the thought of Bulldog wielding a bin. No, I can't. Steph's told me not to... Like, and also, my future wife says I can't fight you. Cuck.
My future wife says I can't fight you, so what I should do if I had any balls was attack you. And she goes, you said you wouldn't. I'll throw a bin in her head and she'd be all right by Thursday.
It's like, so if Tess does something wrong by Steph's... Because what we've gathered from this WWF universe is that every time Steph gets hit by a bin, she resets.
Yeah.
So all that needs to happen is, if Tess cheats on Steph and Steph catches
her,
bang! Oh, hi, Andrew.
Tess, why have you spent... Where's my money? I spent it all on cocaine. What? Bin!
Incidentally, I like...
Whack!
I like that Steph calls him Test. My future husband, Tess, doesn't call him Andrew.
Do you take Test to be your... his name's Test?
Will you be Mrs. Test? Steph is about to become Mrs. Test.
Mr. and Mrs. Test.
Oh, hey, Test.
Test is his name.
It's like Steph walking into a business meeting at WWE Towers in Stamford. Like, well, Triple H's in a meeting with some people and Steph walks in and goes, hey, Triple H, can I borrow you? or sat at home having dinner. Hey, Triple H, can you pass the mustard?
Here's your mustard.
Sorry. Nowadays, you'd be called Mustafa Test.
Hey!
See, I read the news. Backstage, Mr. Hughes and Chris Jericho were brawling. Oh no, Trouble in Paradise.
Trouble in Paradise.
Sorry.
That was definitely my thought when I saw Chris Jericho and Curtis Hughes having a fight. Trouble in Paradise. John, can you make a romantic novella cover, a book cover for a romantic novella featuring Chris Jericho and Curtis Hughes, and the book's called Trouble in Paradise?
No, never mind that, Photoshop John. Can you do the guy with his girlfriend looking at someone else meme?
Oh!
With, instead of Jericho and Curtis Hughes, he's looking at the fig.
Two jobs for you there, John. I can't remember if he works Tuesdays.
Yeah, get to work.
Love you, John.
Love you, John. Thank you for your
Photoshop
thoughts.
Photoshop John Eiley. Look out for that on my Twitter and Matthew's Twitter.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to plug him if we make him do work.
Damn right we do.
The Rock finds Foley with a pop of the night from the crowd. The Rock isn't keen on them teaming up. Quote, what are you, retarded or something? 1999. The Rock will team up tonight as long as it's the last ever time. Foley's so happy. Let him do the doesn't matter who you're wrestling tonight, and he's so happy. Rock doesn't even care who they're wrestling, so Foley quietly goes, oh, it's for the New Age Outlaws and it's for the titles.
What did we think of The Rock's dressing room?
I don't think about these too much because they're just this room, apart from the snake room.
It's just
every arena had one in 99.
I find it funny that like sometimes you'll have shots of wrestlers in the locker rooms, and if they're like members of the corporation, then there'll be like sofas and a big TV and flowers and stuff. Mankind finds The Rock, you know, the like main event superstar, The Rock, like now multi-millionaire super Hollywood megastar The Rock, finds him in a room with one broken chair on the right, nothing else, and his bag in the corner with his phone charging in a socket. It looks so sad. It's so depressing. Please don't tell people how I live.
No, you know what? No, you miss off camera. There's a bin to the right which keeps Test out of his locker room.
How is it?
Like salt keeps Dracula's out. Dracula's, you.
All the Dracula's. A school.
Dracula's.
A school of Dracula's. And it keeps an apology of Dracula's out.
Moving on. I'm going to die before this thing's over.
Trouble in Paradise resumes.
Oh, no. Let's get serious. It's Chris Jericho coming to the ring. The last ever match Mr. Hughes would have in WWF. This is the time when THQ and Aki were making their the list and everything for WrestleMania 2000, the game.
Oh!
And guys like the Blue Meanie and Meat are in that game. And also Ken Shamrock. Mr. Hughes is not in that game.
That
he had such a crap, boring, uneventful run, unspectacular run, that Ken Shamrock literally left the company rather than deal with him. That's
that
not
is,
true.
That is devastating. I mean, I think AKI would have struggled with that sparkly jacket graphics wise for Curtis Hughes. That's my only thing. Like, I don't know who would have had bigger problems: 2K games with Bianca Belair's hair, or AKI with the glittery jacket of Curtis Hughes. In a match sponsored by Road Rash 64.
Oh, I was going to go. This last ever appearance brought to you by Road Rash 64. Lego Mindstorms and 1-800-COLLECT. Probably very unhappy, wanted some money back, knowing it was Mr. Hughes sponsoring. Anyway.
Incidentally, before we get into the match, Z, C left, C down, C left, Z, L, R, C down at the menu screen.
Does that knock Mr. Hughes at Road Rash?
No, that is how you get to be a cop in Road Rash 64.
Boo!
Sadly, Curtis Hughes was not a playable character in Road Rash 64. In oversight, the people who made Road Rash Codemasters even admit we regret to this very day.
Yeah, they had to issue a statement a while ago. It was horrible. Anyway, Mr. Hughes, press F. Cost Jericho a tag match to the Headbangers on Raw. So Jericho abandoned him. No one cares about Mr. Hughes. The Headbangers, and apparently he's hurting the WF at the start of October. They would stay on Jacked and Heat mostly, but make brief appearances popping up like the Groundhog and Groundhog Day.
This
to tell
is
you
where
what
they
the
started
is.
Wearing the cones, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Where they just started wearing like Madonna style bras.
That's right. I think they'd been in Memphis. I need to check this, but it was a bit. They'd gone away for a year or so and just came back like, oh, you're right.
I mean, to be honest, they do fit quite well. In this era,
yeah, it's
they've come back.
And it's like,
tag teams.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the headbangers are back, sure.
Yeah, that's it. Like that, the style, their music, their look, their gimmick, their wrestling technique all does fit very well with the Attitude Era. You know, they were there for bits of 98, most of 98, I think. So it was just nice to see them back. I thought it was fine. They were unoffensive. In this match, they didn't turn up, did they, Headbangers? They didn't turn up at all. On this. This was just like, as you say, normally they live on heat and jacked and metal. I seem to remember watching a lot of Headbangers matches on metal.
I was going to say, because they had the finish move, I believe it was the mosh pit, which is the powerbomb leg drop combo.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
I think I put on Twitter one time, why does no one do this move anymore? It was that in the Boogie Bang, which is the reverse powerbomb roadkill. And tag team combo. And someone, I think a wrestler, maybe Player Uno, said, because it's scary as hell to take and very painful, the leg drop when you're in that position to take both a bump and that. But yeah, they would kill like these, probably JR Ryder more than a few times. Yeah, Headbangers would just kill these guys with these moves. I forgot actually, this is such a weird gimmick we've completely missed. Oh, I wouldn't say we missed it. Of course, why wasn't the Headbangers on TV? Beaver Cleavage. Well, Thrasher was injured. Mosh had come back as Beaver Cleavage. Then Chaz. They're gone now. After.
Of course, I remember this now. I seem to remember.
Oh, there's actually been on SmackDown. We have got one. Yeah. Not SmackDown, beg your pardon. On the Sunday Night Heat before the last pay-per-view we did, Chaz wrestled somebody. And then
Thrasher made the save.
His lass came out with makeup to basically imply that she'd been hit.
Yeah.
By him, so crowd booing, and all the other wrestlers beat the hell out of him and threw him out the locker room. And then that was the last we heard of him. Then GTV footage showed that she was applying makeup to create the effect of wounds. So I went, oh, okay, she lied because wrestling is written by very sexually frustrated males. Still continues to be. All women are liars or whores. And they just got back as the Headbangers and didn't say no ever again.
Word
for the best, really.
No, because I'm sure that Chaz had a match after this came out, after he was exonerated. I'm sure Chaz had a match and was getting beaten down and Thrasher came out to save him. And they kind of united there and then. Thrasher came out in the full gear. Chaz was there. And then the following week they went, hey, we're the Headbangers again.
Yeah. But he was like, look, can you just forget that happened?
Yeah, Draw a line under that and that'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, the guy writing the show wishes he was writing for a different show. Russo thinks he was doing Days of Our Lives and Ed Ferrara was doing Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I love that.
Never
he did
forget.
That. Love that he did that so much.
After No Mercy, we'll put that on.
Right.
The Adventures of the Missing High Tops. Anyway, sorry. Back to Mr. Hughes, because I know you're dying to hear what happened.
I want to talk about the way Curtis Hughes sells Chris Jericho's dropkick. Like, it was like he was slowly falling down the stairs.
Mate, it's his sixth ever bump. And for at least 10 years at this time.
This whole match was a bit of a dud.
Yeah, even with this, even with Jericho doing his best here and has actually changed his hair up, he's no longer got the, what do you call it?
He had like a little ponytail at the front, didn't he?
The front
tail. Little pony bit, didn't he? And he's switching up. He's
the Lenny Lane special.
He's about to launch into look 2 of 48 during his time in the WWF/WWE.
Yeah, for people who care about Jericho's stages, he does has more stages than Sonic the Hedgehog.
Hey.
Thank you, Ed Ferrara. So nothing much happens apart from Hughes trying to sell. It's probably when they realise, oh, God, yeah. Oh, we put him in matches on TV, on Raw. On Raw, he had a match. Worst, the flagship show. And
worst part is, this is probably some of the best that he's wrestled at this point compared to 94.
Yeah, but there needs a lot of distractions because the Fink shows up. But, you know,
Chris Jericho had a right cast of characters here, didn't he? He had a right cast of characters.
Look, he needs all the distractions of the world with Mr. Hughes singles matched. It's like a sleight of hand magician. Look, just don't look at it directly. Fink distracts the referee. Jericho bonks him with a chair. Doesn't bother hiding it to the point where Lawler has to mock the referee for not seeing this chair practically in the pin, clipping in like 2K20. And that's it.
That's it.
So everybody's like, I don't care about Mr. Hughes. 1, 2, 3. So I'm supposed to DQ yet? Whatever. Hughes got screwed. Whatever. Jericho's changed his look up more. Long hair, no jacket. And realised now, after he gets out the ring, I'm getting WF more. Right. There's some catchphrases and the crowd is actually responding to them positively.
Yeah.
They're anti-silly hair and tinfoil jacket, but they're pro not liking Hughes and cool catchphrases. so you will never, ever forget. And then he gives Fink to Hughes as a parting gift.
As a gift to say goodbye and thank you for all the fish.
Yeah. And I don't know if, again, I would love to hear that they screw this guy over, but Hughes is like, oh, okay, great. And him and Hughes walked the back. Like, hey, buddies.
Oh, no, no, Fink's not having it at all. Fink looks upset about the whole thing. But Howard, but the Curtis Hughes is more than happy with basically taking on a small old man.
Get in, he can take my bumps for me. So bumps implies, you know, plural. But that's it. And I wonder, was he supposed to, like, attack him or punch him? And they just cut that bit out and went, nah, you're done, mate. We realised this was a bad idea. Can you please go back to wherever it is you came from? And that's it. So they just walk off together in the sunset, like Casablanca. I think it's the start of a beautiful...
We have both acknowledged the same appalling tone-deaf gear change.
This is it. Can I do this one?
Of course you can, mate. Of course you can.
Wow, Howard Finkel. Looks like he got coal in his stocking. Look how unhappy he is. That big dumb idiot. On Raw, we found out that Big Show's father is terminally ill.
That is the gear change. Jesus.
Jim Ross early today spoke to Big Show in an empty arena. He's very sad. He's very upset that he didn't have time to hang out with his dad more, and then he's never finished there, blah, blah, blah. He's very sad. He's teary. He died years ago in real life.
He did indeed, yes.
But it's interesting that this is the way we're going. But just you wait, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what's going to be happening soon. What do you think about this, Tom?
Big Show rambling about coasting, I think, is fairly accurate for his WWF career. He talks about, like...
Well, right now it is, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. But even like, during his WCW days, like, he very much just kicked back on the... He even says, like, I was a tall guy, so I just kicked back against that. And it's like, that is so true. Like, if he had really knuckled down and focused... at points he could have been so much greater, but he hasn't been helped by some of the cards he's been dealt in the WWF since he turned up.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a tough ride. I mean, yeah. Only about 2 months ago he was walking through the desert having made snake shoes with a motorbike over his shoulder, to now, I didn't see enough of my dad. Well, no, mate, you're in the desert for ages. Of course you didn't. Are these stories meant to collide? I don't know. You're in the occult for ages. Of course you didn't see your dad. But now he talks about wanting to make his dad proud. And it's a very snotty, slow, sad promo from a 7-foot giant. Because this is how you build a monster.
Yeah, everyone of 6'10" on the show is upset and crying a lot. And backstage
What is it about? But anyway, let's not forget Stone Cold Steve Austin's arriving soon.
His dad's alive! Yay! Da 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 da! Alive! Also, this was down for an Eric Bischoff, like, offhand comment on Nitro to go, yeah, Andre the Giant died in 93, you idiot.
Did he really say that on Nitro? Oh, I really want them to.
Anyway, Bossman has a hardcore match against Al Snow and Big Show. Wow, what a transition. I mean, between feuds, I mean, obviously, not just between Austin, the door that we will stare at for every segment until he arrives.
You mentioning WCW and Andre the Giant then has reminded me of that bit where Big Show threw Andre the Giant's T-shirt at Hulk Hogan. Remember this, Hulk!
And then when they forgot about that, like a Chaz wife-beating storyline, they went, was it one of Spring Break episodes? And Scott Hall just bladder just goes, hey, man, how's your dad, Andre? And Big Show goes, shut up. Oh, God. You know, your dad.
Jesus.
Don't you just love him, kids? We're going from, this is how we make the natural progression from Big Boss Man versus Al Snow to Big Boss Man versus Big Show. And maybe he can continue this method of feuding with people by cooking Big Show's dad and feeding it to him.
That seems like the next bit. We're getting a hardcore match, aren't we, later on, between Big Show, Boss Man, and Al Snow.
We certainly are. This is just to whet your appetite, because Mark Henry therapist session number 3 is coming up. God, it's like...
Right. This is
more,
a thing.
More twists and turns than... I'm trying to think of any famous roller coasters. You name any.
The ultimate at Lightwater Valley.
That's one, yes.
More twists and turns than a roller coaster.
Yeah, I thought. More twists and turns than Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Nice.
So, Mark Henry. He's got a male therapist. That's integral to the humour of the situation. Yeah. He's complaining about the other two therapists he had were just too hot. And he knew as soon as he walked through the door that that female one wanted him. The other female one wanted him. So that's why he's got a male one. Are you ready for the joke, Tom? Can you guess what the joke's going to be in the year of our Lord 1999 during the Attitude Era?
Well, when I saw the therapist licking his lips, I kind of started to see the gag crawling through here.
The gag was coming through, like...
crawling through the gaping hole of bad taste. Stop it!
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, the joke, you can see it coming like one of those horns that trains have. The joke is... are you sat down?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The joke is that the therapist, the male therapist for the sex addiction Mark Henry is struggling through life with, is a gay therapist.
Oh my god.
And this segment, it's weak compared to the other ones because Mark Henry got to show off his acting chops and be like, you know, I have sex with everything, sex with dogs, sex with plants, whatever that's near. Every hole is a goal and all that. This one doesn't make any sense because surely if he was addicted to sex, what he really should have done was pounded that guy like he was John Henry whilst crying. But no, also it sucks because this actor sucks. It's only him going, has to go like, oh, don't worry, I can help you touch Mark Henry. Whoa! And crowd instantly gets it, but he's terrible. There's no lisp, there's no like little dog thing, there's nothing, it's just, oh, touch you. Oh, I must be gay, right.
But
he's
then...
just, there's no acting. There's no conviction to this gay actor guy. He did not sell to me that he was a gay therapist. He sucked. He killed this segment. Mm. Mark Henry would have been world champion at Armageddon if it wasn't for this idiot.
It was when Mark Henry stormed off and this guy turns and says, chocolate, but sexual. Come back, sexual. Because Mark Henry's first name is Sexual. That made me laugh. And then you mentioned there that he didn't. He, in fact, did have lisp because Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler come back from this and they say, oh, well... What a terrible therapist. He had a lisp. So they insinuate in this bit that the joke, lol, 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 the joke is, oh, the therapist had a lisp. But no, you've basically said the therapist is gay. That's the joke, lol, lol, lol. Don't pretend that you are going for like a pseudo joke when you have basically... That's not how comedy works. That's not how humour works.
This is where they wrote the punchlines, like any build-up, nah. And I'm glad that they focused on the lisp because I didn't even friggin' notice it.
No,
the guy was so... He wanted to lick his lip once. I'm supposed to pay attention to it like it's a Goddard film.
Anybody said, but Sexual, come back, Sexual. That's when you notice the lisp. But then they pretended that's the joke. But that was blatantly not the joke.
I hope this guy listens to this because he's clearly busking. There's no way this guy's still like, that guy sucked. He killed me. I'm not a lefty liberal. I love jokes. That sucked.
Badly acted joke.
Badly acted crap. Anyway... Big Boss Man versus Al Snow versus Big Show, hardcore title.
If you really want a really good gay stereotype in wrestling, when the Mountie gets put in jail for the jailhouse match, and then the guy comes up to him in the jail cell and says, don't you just love the way that leather feels against your body? Like, he acts it a lot better than this guy does. And it's still a crap stereotype, but it's at least acted better.
And also that helps because the Mountie treated losing that match like he was being led to the death chamber.
Yes, he really did. He sold it like a good un.
Yes. Whereas this is just a set up for the three-way match.
Hardcore title.
That's right. Big Boss Man cuts off Al Snow on the way to the rings. There's the dog thing issue that we're kind of supposed to remember, but we're not really bringing up that much. Al Snow brings out a table, some trays and sticks. So it's already twice as violent as modern Big Japan pro wrestling, according to Dave Meltzer. Ha, ha, ha. Show shows up and he is angry. I don't know why. Possibly his dying dad, but the commentators don't bring it up, so who knows?
It says that Big Show is in a foul mood because he's upset because of his dad.
But it could be anything. Any reason why? They're out of rustlers. Also, my dad's dead. Big Show gets cooled off with a fire extinguisher. Snow takes a show stopper, aka chokeslam, through the table. So Bossman takes out Show with a nightstick to KO him and make him bleed for real. new hardcore champion. And I think it's a nice transition between the whole Al Snow thing. Might as well remind yourself, oh yeah, that happened, to the Big Boss Man versus Big Show thing.
Yeah, but show jobbing to Boss Man, though, is something I didn't necessarily need.
Nothing?
No.
No, no, the good guy's going to fall first, then get himself back up.
It continues this long story of the mismanagement of the Big Show. From the moment he arrived to forever, they never quite grasped what to do with him. We're like, it really, like, all the pieces are in there, but they kind of got it in the wrong order. Like, they sent him to OVW in 2001 as like a punishment thing. When really, what they should have done is gone, okay, we've got him now. He's on our side. He's in 1999. It's the year 1999 of our Lord, and he's on our side. He's not a great wrestler, so why don't we hold off on debuting him? We'll pay him. We'll send him to OVW. We'll send him to a couple of our, you know, our closer promotions just to get to grips with stuff before we put him on the telly. And then when he does, he's going to be in much better shape. He's going to get the business a lot more. And off to the races we can go from there.
That would make a lot of sense.
Make loads of sense.
That they didn't realise that they'd been sold a lemon when they bought him. Not only was he not quite the natural wrestler they thought he was, and not only was he injured coming in, which I think they kept quiet, which certainly doesn't get talked about enough, and it's one of the reasons why they went, alright, you've lied to us, cool, Austin's going to beat you clean the middle of the ring, and what everyone thought was going to be a WrestleMania main event the next year. So that happened.
Hey, do you know what's funny is everything you've said there, right, about Austin, Big Show and all that engine stuff, swap Big Show for Cain Velasquez, swap Austin for Brock Lesnar, you have basically got what they did 20 years later. Yeah.
But also you have to coincide with, right now we're through a really weird period for WF because their big star, Austin, is kind of on the show. It's kind of not. It is kind of false advertising in some places, but he's knackered. So they're having to work around that. Plus, oh, The Undertaker is really knackered, so he's left. Bulldog is now in a upper mid-card position where he's supposed to be feuding with Boss Man, having to switch some stuff around. And eventually realise he's so knackered, Big Show will have to take his place.
But Big Show's jobbing to the Boss Man!
Hey, like that's why it's fascinating to go back and watch and go, wow, he went from Boss Man to world title on the same show, as we'll find out in a few months.
Oy vey.
Anyway, don't look at that. Look at the fact that door we've been looking at. Continuously, like a David Lynch and Twin Peaks shot.
I was looking.
It opens. Austin's here. Austin's here. He walked through a door. That was it.
They got very excited about Austin walking through a door, there, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Nice. Finally. Shout to the guy who in the crowd during the hardcore match had a sign for RajaWWF.com.
Ah, the days when it was a huge thing to get your website URL.
Yeah, big, and when you had to and try and get like the name of whatever it was in the URL as well was a big deal.
Yeah, so if you had a long website name, forget it.
Yeah, or geocities.com.
No
chance sometimes.
Have one of your mates hold up geocities.com/, and then you hold up the rest of the sign.
Big shout to Raja as well, that is still going.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. Still giving us the news.
Get it.
Love you, Raja.
Hello. During the break, China is very upset, so get in more acting. She's really, really upset. Why is she upset? Well, I'll have to wait, because here's Val Venus. He knows about making women cry. Sirius Venus claims ownership of Rocco. He found it. And this is, I think this is libertarian beliefs, I'm not sure. It's in the garbage. So he put it, and he took Rocco to the promised land. Venus is ready to show that he's the fastest up and coming with Fast Fist Action star. And that's it. Here's Stevie Richards.
This is the thing, right? Okay, so Val Venus stealing Rocco should have been a little line that should have led to the impetus of Val Venus going into the main event. But the fact is, Val Venus is still focused on the fact of, I found a sock in the bin and I put it down my pants. That is still a story. Even here, he's boasting about fishing a sock out of the bin.
Because he's got a serious finishing move that's different than Money Shot, as we'll see in a second.
Oh, yes.
His opponent is Steve Richards, and he gets announced as Dude Love by Lillian. I'm not sure that Lillian messes this up, because the Chiron also says Dude Love. And when I said it, I would have sworn down that he was Dude Law. That was the gimmick. Let me try
Dude
and find
Dude Law.
Yeah, because obviously he's not Dude Love. He's Dude Love. So I swear I remember reading that in the World of Wrestling magazine that he was Dude Law.
I wonder whether Lillian Garcia just lost some of her notes, so was just going by whatever the Titantron said.
Yeah, and the Chiron says
Dude Love. Singing Dude Love.
I would have sworn that. Maybe you could find anything else. Wow, googling Dude Love brings up nothing. I must have been wrong. Oh, my sources are bad. Yeah, he was just Dude Love.
He just came out as Dude Love.
Sure. And I describe wrestling dressing up as someone else as a classic Russoism, but this has literally been Stevie's entire shtick in ECW with Raven, but without the cut-off T-shirt. Boo. Venus kicks out of the Stevie kick, shocking, and gives him a really rough-looking blue thunder bomb. Cole doesn't know the name, so nothing would change in 19 years. Money shot 1-2-3, but more importantly, Serious Venus's finisher. He's got Rocco, who gives Stevie the testicular claw. And you could say, okay, that's a bit crude, mixing up the porn gimmicks together with the sock gimmicks, but I think it makes a lot more sense than grabbing the man's crotch and doing the damage to it. Because if he'd started doing the mandible claw, there'd be a lot of questions there. Because Mankind's whole thing was that he knew the nerves, the grab in the mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and all this. So, for Valiant to suddenly get a sock and suddenly know how to use the mandible claw, he's like, wait, hang on, does the sock give you the power?
That is an excellent shout. And in the same way that Mankind knows where all the nerves are in the mouth, Valvinus knows all the nerves in the John Thomas. So therefore, that makes his version of the testicular claw the most devastating. Somewhere, a very young Joey Ryan is making some notes.
Yeah. How to make six figures with one bump.
What if I had the testicular claw on me, but that was the move?
What's your gimmick? I'm like Val Venus, but serious. Guys, it's been done. Meanwhile, Triple H rushed to hospital and near death.
He's vomiting as he's getting in the ambulance. I want to point that bit out for a point at the end of the podcast. Vomiting. Like horrible foaming at the mouth vomit as he's getting into the ambulance. Yeah.
Like Albert Doyer. He's going to die live on TV. Sorry, I love a good Albert Doyer reference. Speaking of near death, his bulldog and a live mic. And if you like last week's bit where we did this word for word. Here we go.
Okay, right, there we go.
Now, I can't do the accent very well, but I can get the cadence.
We present Matthew Gregg as the British Bulldog.
I can't care about anybody. I care. Sorry, I misspelled it.
This is Kerr,
spelled C-U-R-R. I care about the WWF title. I'll take it from Triple H. And Rock, you think you can slam me in a pile of dog crap and get away with it? Oh, never mind this crap thing. Oh, my God. Okay, stop everything. As some people may know, it's semi-infamous, semi-not. They had a match where The Rock, David Boy Smith, The Rock Bottom, on dog poop.
Yeah.
Because it had Michael Cole's call of, the dog poop, the dog poop, stamped on the dog poop, the dog poop. And I thought, being, you know, sensible lad, they did this after the big pay-per-view match between The Rock and Bulldog. Wouldn't that make sense, Tom? Wouldn't you want Bulldog slamming Rock in dog poop to make him look good?
Keep Rock strong.
This happened this week.
So this is the go-home Raw, is The Rock bottoming Bulldog into dog poo.
Yeah.
That's fine. That therefore says to me that Bulldog's going to win. Let's all remember this moment.
Believe it.
Let's all remember this moment.
So you're talking about, like, oh, the Big Show's booking around this period was a bit Tom, look at this show.
Honestly, this is a great example of where we were at in WWF at this point. So we've had that. So Bulldog has washed his back and he's come out to do a scintillating promo for the crowd. Matthew, will you do us the honours from the top of giving us the Rock promo, of the Bulldog promo?
I think that was it. I think I got... Sorry, I thought it was such a good idea, but then I got distracted and was like confused by the fact that was the honour I gave it, because that's all he said. And he may have said some other words, but I was too distracted. Look at him going, my God, you look like you're bitten by a radioactive pepper army.
A few other things he said was, all he cares about is the WWF Championship. And he says, if Triple H is too sick to defend it, I'll take it from whoever. So like, and it's like, that says something about the mental state of Bulldog, where Bulldog's like, if Triple H is too sick to defend it, then somebody else have it, and then I'll beat you for it. Like, I don't want it. I want to take it from somebody else. He then says he's going to beat The Rock and get one step closer to my title. And I really wanted him to say shot, but he didn't. My title. He's just prattling on about winning the belt. It's just bloody annoying.
Sorry. Next time I won't get the
A radioactive... But no, it's fine. But the comments about him looking like a radioactive pepper army is a beautiful description of the Bulldog.
Oh, God. And we go hard left. Terry Runnels photo shoot, where she is naked, apart from the dollars. And she blends up really well. She's on a big plastic couch that is very, almost exactly the same as her forehead right now. Winner of the tit wins $100,000 and her managerial services, if you know what I mean.
Can I just have the cash equivalent?
Yeah.
Is that fine? And she says it like that as well. If you know what I mean, Wazowski.
You wanted the best, you got the rest. The you hottest wanted, manager in the world.
You wanted the best, you've got the rest.
$100,000. I mean, I'm not being funny, but she's got like... She's not doing it for me.
No?
She's trying to get this Stifler's mum appeal. But in HD, HD is the enemy.
HD truly is the enemy.
To people her age, yeah. But to these kids running around, I'm pretty sure that's illegal in some states in America. Anyway, the Edge and Christian team are watching in a monitor backstage. Those little tiny ones, CRT monitors, they're still using for Smash Brothers tournaments around the world.
And they're actually watching it properly, like watching it face on.
Yeah, like, well, that's good, though. Tit. Like but the new brood show up, and Gangrel, and beat them up. Ooh. Boot of the week. Oh,
this was incredible. This was a great example of how tone deaf this company is at this point.
Do you have any ideas? Okay, cool. There's nine. Select all. Yes to all. All right, on Raw, Jeff Jarrett hits China with a toaster. I believe this is during the main event, Jim Ross, Steve Austin tag match. Mm-hmm. And dumps her in a laundry basket, which I remember. They then launch the laundry basket, one of the big ones, off a ledge in the parking bay. Which is cool, looks horrible. No issues with that. They then open it, and she is literally soaked in blood.
And the commentators are just like, oh my God, oh my God. That was your Lux boot of the week! Jesus Christ! Oh my God, how can Lux be all right with this? Hey guys, thanks for the sponsorship deal. We're going to highlight like some big attacks from the week to really sell your shoes. Okay, so what's this week? Oh, well, the Lux boot of the week this week is Jeff Jarrett killing a woman.
I don't know how that...
Do you want some shoes?
Because you don't think the one thing that wasn't bleeding? Her feet.
Because she had lugs.
Thanks to lugs.
Now, if Cole had said, well, thank God she was wearing lugs, otherwise her feet would be bleeding too, that might have saved the segment. But my God, it was so tone deaf.
Jeff Jarrett should have knocked her out with a lug.
Somebody made that and went, yeah, that's fine. They do something else. Right, later on, it's even worse. They do another one of these later on, and it's even worse. Awful company. Awful, awful company.
I don't know what happens next week, but if Triple H dies in this episode, it's going to be like, Austin, I just want... lugs! Tell my wife... For your feet, lugs!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Double J is here with Miss Kitty, and his segment's going to be a lot more interesting. We'll be going into a lot more detail that next week or next segment we do.
The Jeff Jarrett good housekeeping demonstration.
Uh-huh. The whole ring is filled with housekeeping goods.
You covered everything in barbed wire at this point. You'd have an AEW lights out match.
This is not one of Jarrett's best moments, not in terms of delivery. Again, look, it's like it's in the actor's studio, like that other therapist dude. Mm. But it's not. His delivery isn't there. And there's a blatant cut because the crowd isn't really getting it because the lines aren't that cool. She'll need the iron for her wrinkled skin, whatever. And Jarrett promises to bring everything but the kitchen sink. I think it was a plot point.
I kind of wanted Jeff Jarrett at this point to go, this looked good on paper.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This isn't landing.
Yeah. Deborah's here and tells him that there's going to be a new IC champion and it's going to be a woman. Jarrett's like, what? I hate women. And then leaves. It's very weak. But I imagine Jeff Jarrett had a lot of other things in his mind at this point than cutting his A material that we've had these other weeks.
As Jeff Jarrett's contract is mere hours away from expiring with the WWF.
So Jeff Jarrett's looking at his watch the entire segment. How long can I drag this out?
So by this point, I'm presuming they've had the conversation. Somebody in Stanford has gone, Vince, we need a word. Jeff's contract is about to run out. And they must have had the conversation by this point and gone, Jeff, how you doing? Do you want a new contract? And he said, no, I'm going to WCW. Cool, okay. Do you want to stay till Sunday? Do some extra hours? Well, no, you've been horrible to me. Yeah, but we'll give you all this money. And the biggest hug in the world.
I know there's a big write-up of when Jarrett, they did that like five-disc Jeff Jarrett TNA.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember there was like a big interview with him, was like a selling point. Wasn't a big selling point for me, because why would I want probably a five-disc Jeff Jarrett TNA set, Jesus. But apparently there's a big interview with him, and that one of the things he talked about in detail about it, because there's people who get the wrong idea. From the top of my head, I'll have this all written out the next time, but from the top of my head, it was along the lines of, it wasn't that he was holding up for money that he was owed, it was money he would get, but suspected WWF may drag their heels giving it
that
to him,
makes
given
sense.
That he was leaving WCW and all this, and he was effectively holding him up. And he says he was only holding up for money that he was going to get paid anyway.
I think we may have talked about this previously. The idea that there was money that was due to come in for other sales, for revenue and merch and stuff like that, where normally they kind of get it like a month in lieu. But he was thinking, well, no, if once I go, you're just not going to send me the check. I'm gone to you. So how about you give me that now, and I will stay till Sunday. And if you don't, then I won't.
Yeah. And you know, you go, what? But WWE would never withhold money, isn't that right? CM Punk, who has also just returned after having whatever.
No, he's working for Fox, mate.
I know.
Actually, CM Punk works for Fox. You're wrong when you say he's back in WWE. Shut up.
Lord Alfred Hayes, what are you doing on the...
Is
that your impression of an annoying wrestling fan, is Lord Alfred Hayes?
It's close enough, actually. I have hated every single tweet I've had. Actually, he works for Fox. Just shut up! I don't swear on this very often, right? But shut up! Let us have nice things! Thank you.
Backstage, Kevin... Kevin Kelly talks to Austin. Wow, this will cheer us up.
Have you noticed what Steve Austin's drinking?
What is he drinking?
Now, I think because it's Steve Austin, we always assume it's a Steve Weiser having a beer, right? It's got the can has a napkin wrapped around it. So I paused it, took a screenshot, zoomed in. It's a Diet Coke. That's the biggest scandal of the show so far. Steve Austin's drinking Diet Coke, but obviously was there a thing where they had an issue with the sponsorship of Coca-Cola, where Coca-Cola didn't want to sponsor them? So whether this is WWE going, okay, well, if you're going to drink that, wrap that around there.
I think it was Foley's book he talks about that. There's a scene where they had to recut some, retake some. Oh, no, sorry, there's a Pepsi in the background and they're no longer sponsoring us. He's like, some companies were withdrawing this. But
yeah,
I feel so bad for them. Didn't we just have a bit with, like, lugs for your feet, dead women?
Exactly.
And also, even worse than that, Mr. Hughes.
The Diet Coke slurp of the week. Oh, my God, Steve Austin's just been run over. That was your Diet Coke slurp of the week. Tasteless.
Steve doesn't feel bad about Triple H dying. How was I supposed to know that rattlesnake was going to bite him?
How was I supposed to know me hitting him with that car would do damage?
Yeah, I'd be... fairly mad if I was watching these shows and they promised Austin and he's backstage playing with snakes and guns, to be honest with you. But
yeah, I mean, we don't know for a fact that they didn't bring out Steve Austin at the end of the night anyway.
No, yeah.
Even just to kind of go, oh, I'm here, everybody.
I can do a stunner and throw beer. That's it.
That's pretty much my shtick.
Can you give this guy a stunner for another $5,000? Anyway, no time for that. The New Brood, which is the Hardy Boys with a Gangrel intro, but the Hardy Boys theme, versus Edge and Christian coming in through the crowd.
This is the Terry Invitational Tournament, or, as Lillian Garcia calls it, the following is the Terry Runnels Invitational Tag Team Contest.
The trittick.
As Lillian Garcia called it. The trittick. I wonder whether Lillian just left her notes on a counter behind the scenes. Just a few times tonight where she was just, I feel like she's ad-libbing.
Yeah. Following contest of the Cultaholic SmackDown Review Pop... Tom Campbell!
Yeah. She needs me really there just to tell her what it's called.
Also, talking to sponsors, well, the most appropriate one on the show, Legacy of Kane, sponsors the match with a vampire in it.
He should have sponsored the Kane Acolytes match.
Yeah.
What a withering agreeal from you.
I don't get that, but I like you, Tom, so I'm going to give you a...
Thanks, mate. I thought Kane and Kane.
Oh, Christ.
Kane,
right. Jesus Christ, Matthew.
The spelling's different, but the sentiment...
They're completely different.
Sentiment is there.
Anyway, do you think Gangrel, being the manager of the Hardys, gave the series away he was going to win?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't.
Not just me, then.
To be honest with you, I don't think it did. I don't think that really gave anything away, because I didn't expect the finish to be what it was. I didn't expect the payoff to be what it was.
All right.
So I'm all right with it.
Anyway, the normal match after last week's tornado tag. There's a lot of moves here, but we're not going to call all of them because that would be a very dull podcast. But Jeff and Edge both land on their feet after backdrop attempts, monkey flip attempts, beg your pardon. Christian gives Matt a Frankenstein on the outside. Jeff flies off the barricade to take out Christian, who ignores it. So Gangrel throws him into the ring steps. Referee's distracted. Jeff misses a dive outside, bangs his head off the guardrail, bless him. Hot tag to Edge. Lots of bustle and hustle. A double pin. But Teddy Long sides as the Hardy Boys as winners, so it's 2-2.
Ah.
And no mention here of what the added stipulation would be, so it must have been on Sunday Night Heat that decided it's going to be a ladder match.
And they must have very late, or maybe on the bump, I don't know.
Oh, God.
Teddy Long is useless. Because he counts the pin for both before announcing, oh, no, I was only counting him. Tag team matches are Teddy Long's speciality. He should be good at this.
But as soon as they get tit involved, they can do the three, oh, whatever.
As soon as we get the titic involved, the trittick involved.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I got the wrong name, the trittick.
Yeah, interesting finish. I liked it. I liked the tension going into Sunday, whatever the match will be. I'm sure it won't be a match that changes the shape of tag team wrestling forever. Spoiler, it does.
Oh, what's that coming? Oh, it's GTV!
GTV!
It's Stephanie McMahon and... Who is it? Is it my favourite wrestler in the world? It is! The Bulldog is back!
It is British Bulldog, who in this entire segment is an absolute dick.
Yeah.
Like, just unforgivable in every single thing he says!
I think it kind of works with Steph being presented as this angel, this lovely... idealist woman. So I guess it makes it more funny when she's like with an evil wrestler like Tess. Steph forgives him and knew that he wasn't aiming for that. Which I think is Steph's way of saying, you're not getting a Vince McMahon feud, mate. Ask Davey, can you just apologise? He doesn't. And he goes, this has been a waste of my time.
Like, from the get-go. Like, Steph goes, thanks. Like, so Steph's meeting Davey Boy Smith in, like, an abandoned canteen. Like, a ghost canteen. As he comes in, Steph goes, Davey, thanks for coming. And then he's like... It's not Davey, it's David. Like, you threw a bin at this woman's face. You bellend. Just at least, like, this is the thing, right? GTV was used to sort of expose wrestlers out of character. Like, you know, like, wrestlers doing stuff they wouldn't normally do, acting ways they wouldn't normally do. Bulldog was a dick in front of the camera. GTV just exposes he is the same dick when no one's looking.
Yeah, I think it's the plot point of what does Steph think about Bulldog that we're all questioning ourselves. She's all right with him.
She's fine with him. She's fine with him. And he just, like considering he threw a bin at her, not an inch of apology. Just like, oh, I just want a title shot. Just don't call me Davey. He's a bell end. Yeah.
She's like, it's all right, I forgive you, which means I'm not feuding. You are not getting the met. No. Like,
yes, you are. He's like, right, I tell you what, Davey Smith is a bit like, if you've ever been to a pub at about 11 o'clock at night, and there is a guy who's been in there for a good couple of hours, and he starts a conversation with you, and everything you say, he disagrees with you on. Like, just because he's spoiling for an argument, and you're not giving him anything, so he's, like, grabbing at straws to get an argument out of you. Like, red-faced, just, like, bulging, furious, just battered and annoyed and looking for a scuffle. That is Davey here.
The Godfather with hose. An entrance versus Million. What the hell is this doing here at this part of the show? Godfather says he could beat up Million easily, as we all know, but he said, hey, why fight? Why don't I offer you a hoe? Crowd, take the hose, take the hose. Like, it's like, shall I gamble? Gamble! And Million's like, I ain't gonna do that. Boo! And he goes, you got any farm animals? No, Pop, because Million sucked.
No, it's okay, though, because Midian realises, oh, I haven't finished the gag yet. I better double down on this. And he says, I'm not a freak. They're not alive.
No, Pop again. Like, and he tells Godfather, did you have your scissors? Did you bring your scissors? No, Pop.
Is this on? Hello?
Hello?
Farm animals? Yeah, Midian likes to have sex with farm animals. On this episode of Raw, of SmackDown, where we have seen Big Show's dad is terminally ill. We've watched Jeff Jarrett nearly kill China from Monday Night Raw. Also, Midian likes to have sex with farm animals. God, it's a lot to take in here.
Where were you when Midian said he has sex with animals and no one noticed or cared? Anyway, they have a match. Visser interferes. So to make up for it, with the Godfather nails the pimp drop right on Midian's head, bless him. The hose grabbed Viscera to prevent interference. I do not recall the hose interfering in the matches. So that's great.
Yeah, I don't. They're very rarely. I think there's only been a handful of occasions when the hose have really got amongst it. I hate how casually we just say, oh, the hose.
And that's what they were.
They're just the hose.
Here comes the Godfather and the hose.
The hose. Do you remember when one of the Godfather's hose won the hardcore title and Lillian Garcia went, here is your winner, a new hardcore champion, one of the Godfather's hose.
Great. Anyway, afterwards.
I have a name. It's Christine.
Anyway, not the Union. Beat them up afterwards to get their heat back, or the cold back in the case of Midian. And I think this leads to a match at No Mercy. God help us.
It certainly does. Great.
But never mind that. The main event's coming up. Rock and Sock versus New Age Outlaws. Makes out first and goes, oh. hey, my, Rock and Sock, never die.
I like that. That was cute.
Before that, though,
we had, to reflect on the Lugs Boot of the Week, we had the 1-800 Smack of the Night, sponsored by 1-800 Collect.
Yeah.
The 1-800 Smack of the Night. And now, the 1-800 Smack of the Night. Triple H's heartfelt speech about nearly dying and leaving the WWF. Him going, I'm going to quit. This doesn't mean my life. I'm going to hand this belt over. It's not worth my life. That was the 1-800 Smack of the Night. Really? So the for you, the ultimate hit of the night was a nearly dead Triple H admitting that he's having to quit the company. All right, anyway.
If Triple H needed to call someone from the hospital, we had to call Collect. He'd use.
Anyway, hey, my, Rock and Sock will never die.
I like that.
That's ace. I love this.
Anyway. The Rock clearly does not want to be in this match. But he's like, all right. And Mick clearly is like, this is it. He's like, yay. So you can see the finish coming from a mile off, but it's still good. Gunn and Rock get the dramatic standoff. Ha, ha, ha. As they do the international. Because, you know, there's the heat between Gunn and Rock. And so they do the international, which I believe Tom Campbell can do now after his months of wrestling training.
I certainly can. What is the international?
It's... Billy Gunn was elite for us. I realize, there's no way I could do that verbally.
Like, it was great because what you can't appreciate, and one day we'll do a visual version of this podcast, but you started gesticulating what it could be, and then about 4 seconds in, just went, just dropped your hands and just went back to, back to the script. Like, you not even acknowledging the fact that, do you know what? I can't be bothered.
I love emoting on a podcast.
I love when you emote on a podcast.
Anyway, Gunable deliver a falling neck drop, but Rock kind of counters the famouser. Breaks down, but two referees show up, which I may be mislooking at things here. This may be a tribute to Gorilla Monsoon. He would always complain that there wasn't enough referees in these tag team matches, and you ideally would need two referees.
I think it might have been, you know.
So, I hope it was. Mankind shake, rattle and rolls Dog. Dog hits him low, then does it to him, but Mankind falls down before he can finish it off. Very nice here. Stretch Armstrong with the... You know it's a Stretch Armstrong and not a pump handle drop? How do you know the difference, Tom? Because Road Dogg humps you
before
he does that. That's what makes it Stretch Armstrong and does plus three more damage.
The only time I think it was ever acknowledged as a Stretch Armstrong was in the WWF Attitude game.
Yeah.
Where obviously it would be listed as that. And also, because they had sound bites from the wrestlers, there'd be a bit where Road Dogg would go, "You're not going to kick out of the Stretch Armstrong." That, you know, that famous phrase that Road Dogg always said.
I've had 2 seconds to think of my finishing move name, and that's what it is.
Stretch Armstrong.
That's it. Rock interferes, and Billy Gunn delivers a big-ass pile driver to Mankind. Billy Gunn, whenever he do the pile driver on Mick, always looked like he was killing him.
Yeah, they had good pile driver chemistry together.
Demessi. Gunn gets Rock Bottom. Road Dogg drags him out, however. Billy Gunn kicks out of the double arm DDT, which I thought was the finisher. And I was like, no, Socko was the finisher. And, all right. Mankind gives Dogg the Socko. Gunn delivers Famouser. Then the Hollies interfere. Hardcore Holly tries to nail Gunn with a bat that hits Mankind. Then Crash Holly nails Billy Gunn with the tag titles. So dead Mankind falls on top of dead Billy Gunn to win the tag titles. The Hardcore Hollies are the dumbest tag team ever.
Bloody just. We've got a tag title match on Sunday. Let's cost the people we're going to face the tag team titles. What was the thinking here? Was the thinking to make them look stupid? That's the only thing I can think of. It was done to make them look stupid.
I don't know what's happening right now, but I know who else looks stupid than this. That's right, the Bulldog, who... is so beneath the Rock. Rock is now tag champion. His main feud is with Mankind and the Rock and the tag title situation. His secondary feud is with Val Venis. His tertiary feud is with Bulldog, and he's wrestling him with no person.
He's so down the line. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you also who looks dumb in this match. The Rock, right? Because at the end of the match, they cut outside and the Rock looks furious that they won the match. So what were you expecting to happen here? Like, you're in this match.
Yeah, right.
So were you expecting to lose? But then why would you want to go into a match wanting to lose? And then, so you can't think like that. So you have to go in to win. And then you win, and you look furious.
Look.
What's the thing in here? This company.
This business.
This company.
Was built on wacky tag team partners who can't get along, all right?
Jesus, but this is the peak of that nonsense. Mankind goes, I want a match. Please give me a match with Rock and Sock.
Where's my tag title shot?
Where's my tag title shot? You call that a tag title shot. And then The Rock goes along with this match. The Rock should just not turned up. Ta-da! Done.
But no, Foley Lightwoman said Visit Man made him.
I suppose there was.
I'm defending
that.
The show.
Yeah,
I'm defending the writing.
No. It's good. I'm glad that you do, because it's good that we think like this and go, okay, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
Rather than going, what were they thinking? We're going, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they were thinking.
There is stuff there to justify it in storyline wise, but I have to take points off your essay for forgetting that important plot point.
There is, although
from Chapter 4 of SmackDown.
We're spending a lot of time talking on this bit, but there is one particular
piece
of business that is probably worse than this that is about to
when Triple
occur.
H dies. Oh, it just, his skin falls off. It's like Indiana Jones when they open the Ark of the Covenant.
I remember seeing it first time round on the Lugs Boot of the Week.
There wasn't enough left of Triple H after the snake bit him to fit in one lug.
Do you want to go through this final segment?
I think it's when Triple H fades to dust and just goes, Austin, I respect you. And Austin just gives him this slight tip of the cap. And then the last thing you see is a tear come out of his eyes before he turns to dust forever.
He got what he wanted.
Triple H forever.
Do you know what?
All right, enough of this. Triple H is backstage.
If that had been how SmackDown ended, I'd have been fine with it.
Which is left like that. He's backstage. He's helped up by China. He can't get up without China. He sees Austin and he tells him, is this what you want? Yeah, Austin. And Austin's kind of distracted, but he's so stoical. I guess the thing is, Austin's supposed to be like, oh my God, Triple H. I mean, I hate you, but I didn't want you to die and all this. But Austin's like, I kind of wish you were dead.
He's not selling it.
He's what we talked about before with Rock and Mankind. Rock not always selling for Mankind. Mm. Austin's like, I don't care that you died of a... It's not really his character to go, ooh, you know what? That does look a bit nasty, mate.
I don't give a damn.
So anyway, he's kind of like, hey, look at my title. Ah! And then it was a setup all along. Triple H rips his face off. Oh, no, sorry, it's makeup. Okay, God, Jesus. Rips his face off. They beat him up. And Triple H's like, you stupid Austin. Of course I'm going to beat you. I'm the champ. And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, right now I'm looking after some kids sometimes. And the four-year-old will sometimes like, let's play a game, let's play a game. And I'm like, okay. But they're like, the game that I came up with. And she's four. So it's not going to be a great game. But they'll literally go, all right, look, look, take this magic wand. This is mine now. He goes, okay, but isn't that your brother's? No, it's mine. He goes, okay. Psych, it is actually my brother's. Ha, ha, ha. It's that level of storytelling. And I feel you get this a lot with wrestling, where it's like, no, he's really dying. No, really. No. Ha, ha, you're so stupid for falling for the thing.
But you're absolutely right, and that is a beautiful example of how it works. But I don't think I've ever known, in this climate, an example of this kind of hoodwinkery. So let's take this from the beginning. I want to have a little moment on this. Yes, we do. Okay, so Monday night Raw, Triple H was locked in a room with a rattlesnake. That's the last we see of him. Triple H gets out of the room. We reveal how he got out of the room another time.
Like in Zelda games, you have to defeat the snake to get the key to get out.
That's
of the room.
It. The snake was hidden. The key was hidden inside the snake. The next day, Triple H therefore goes, "We've got to get back at Austin. So here's the plan. I'm going to hire a makeup artist. They are going to paint my face like I have been bitten by a rattlesnake." I'm going to walk out on SmackDown, all solemn and sad, and announce that I am quitting the company and I am handing the belt over. I will get Vince McMahon out. I will talk like I'm behind the scenes, and I will say I'm going to hand the belt to Austin. Right? I will force myself to vomit. I will fake a seizure. We will trick the paramedics so I get strapped into a gurney and loaded into an ambulance, driven away. China, you have to cry. I know you've got something with Jeff Jarrett at the moment. Bin that off. You have to cry and get help. I will then tell them I'm feeling better. We will come back to the venue, where I will sit in the locker room and looking all sad. You go get somebody go get Steve Austin, so Steve Austin can come in and I can go, okay, I'm not well, I'm going to hand you the belt. And just as I do that, China, distract him, I'll hit him. That was his plan. The whole day. That was his plan. So China can distract him for a second so he can hit him. All that. So he can hit him. He could have just jumped him backstage. This.
No, but it was to lure him to a false sense of security, which he did. Do you not see how he looked exactly the same as he always does?
Exactly. Bulldog threw a bin at a woman. That took a second. This was...
And the list of expenses as well. Ambulances aren't cheap. The makeup isn't cheap.
And you convince the company so much that this is real that you get one of their advertising sponsored bits to highlight it.
It's like, what a moment this is. It's just... it's unreal. Also, China, it's all done so China can briefly distract Steve Austin so Triple H can hit him. I have never...
I'm sure it's like, aha, the plan worked perfectly.
Exactly. The plan worked beautifully. It was a setup all along.
Best 100 grand I ever spent.
For the love of God. What a moment. Jesus.
So you think you could have just gone backstage and gone, Austin, what? Look at that.
His plan...
My God, who's that?
His plan was basically the equivalent of a child going, look over there, yeah. What's that?
Ogawa! And then smacked them.
That was the plan. No one would have looked at Ogawa, as we discovered at the start.
Austin's like, I'm not turning my neck for Ogawa.
Damn it, we'll have to do the makeup thing. But it was just, when you break it down like that, it is an absolute load of balderdash. It truly is a lot of balderdash.
I mean, to be fair, it's very easy to laugh and mock.
Oh,
WF writing.
It really is.
But it is also very fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Because it's also, they're not just distracting Austin, they're distracting the audience for the fact that Austin, that's his contribution.
They're
to
filling
show.
A show. It's what they're doing. They're filling a show.
What do you do when your main eventer is unable to main event or do anything? I can't wait to see No Mercy to see what he does in this match of Triple H. The main event with a guy who can't walk.
Jeez, well, that's exciting. Well, that was SmackDown this week.
What a blast.
What a blast it truly was.
Please, please, please join us next time.
We haven't done our Something to Remember, Something to Forget.
I was about to do it.
Oh, sorry, mate. You said
join us. Please join us. But before you join us.
Okay.
The thing that you remembered from this episode.
I remember Triple H being bit by a snake. As you can tell, I've had about 20 years to ruminate on it. Triple H being bit by a snake and the consequent bizarre payoff of that is what sticks with me.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. I also remember the tag match. I don't know if they showed highlights of that on Metal or what else would have been on? The Superstars that they had in 99. But I definitely remember seeing the tag match in more detail because it was crazy. It ended with Triple H getting the snot... No. Jim Ross getting beat up by Triple H until Austin arrived to show him and throw him in there. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
Really.
It was a crazy... This was the one that happened on Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, It was always weird to see JR in that kind of situation, you know. But, what did you forget from the show?
God, let's have a look. There's a lot. There's a lot to forget.
I forgot. Chocolate, sexual, come back. I forgot that particular part of the Mark Henry sexual addict storyline, which involved the lulls of there being a gay therapist.
But what's the
next
thing going to be?
Oh, sorry, he had a lisp. That's the joke.
See, I don't mind that W humor when it's done properly. This was whatever. And we'll go. Come on, this 10-second segment we're overanalyzing. Apart from that, the Rock and Sock winning the tag titles begrudgingly. I don't know how that ended, the Rock and Sock, but we're coming up to that.
Yeah, that was a good one, actually. That's a good one.
And this was the last ever time they teamed up. Don't let that stop you from the fact that we will be excited for. No Mercy? You haven't said what you've forgotten
about. We will
indeed.
No, I have. I said that it was the men's therapist.
I've already forgotten about it.
Exactly.
No Mercy. Look at this card. The Godfather versus Midian.
Oh, my God.
Set up by this bit that we just saw. The Fabulous Moolah versus Ivory. Not that on SmackDown. The Hollies take on the New Age Outlaws for the tag title. Oh, no, they won't.
It's now a non-title match.
Well done, idiot. China versus Jeff Jarrett for the Good Housekeeping Match IC title. Oh, be some stuff to talk about there, I imagine.
It might be a little bit, I think.
The Rock versus Bulldog. Fifth match on the show.
Oh, my God.
It's before the tit finals.
The Terry Invitational Tournament ladder match. Edge and Christian versus the New Brood. Yeah. Sure, that'll be monumental.
Val Venus versus Mankind with... X-Pac versus Bradshaw versus Farouk versus Kane, Four Corners Elimination. What a weird card pacing this is.
Yeah.
And then the Triple H versus Steve Austin, anything goes match. So presumably after all the excitement we've seen, there's going to be guns and jeeps and snakes just flying around the place. So
fake injuries.
Well, the only way to see what happened with that is to go on the WWE. No, don't be silly. It's to tune in to
Same
the podcast
time.
With no name.
If you haven't done so already, if you're listening to this, I presume you have. You subscribe to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast feed. You'll get every week the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. That's what this is. And next week, as opposed to watching an episode of SmackDown, myself and Matthew Gregg will be sitting down and watching WWF No Mercy 1999. And it'll be a commentary recording, a watch-along, if you will. And so you'll get to sit and watch it with us, basically.
Yeah, and if the ratings are down for that, then we'll call it Watches WWF No Mercy N64 and hopefully be better. But thank you very much for listening to us go on and on about a lovely bit of TV. Tom, anything to plug?
Only you at Matthew Gregg.
Oh.
I at Tom Campbell.
Oh.
Together we are at Cultaholic. The whole Triple H segment was an absolute sham. Love you, bye.
That's right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.